The entrepreneurial landscape definitely changed and shifted. But what I didn't do in my first business is I didn't do the work of understanding what would make me happy the most, what my values were. I knew what I did as a person, but I didn't know how to translate that into a business that actually supported my lifestyle. So while we had our moments of extreme highs, extreme lows, and a high again, had a lot of success in there, at the end of it, I hated going to work on Mondays. Because I really didn't design a business that would give me what I wanted from it. I think that's normal in some ways because we see it happen so many times that I came into a business seeking freedom. I did not design a business to give me freedom. I treated freedom as a reward that happened someday when I had put in my dues, hustle and grind and reach that success. I didn't realize that I could have so much more of that from day one.
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. We discuss the invaluable insights of business owners who have successfully implemented the strategies in the book to build their own team of devoted superfans. Gain insightful knowledge from the experts who create applications that help you create passionate superfans. This is the Business Superfans Podcast. With your host, Freddie D.
Freddie!
Hey, superfan superstar, Freddie D here. In this episode 104, we're joined by Leslie Hasler, the dynamic force behind Your Biz Rules, a consultancy that helps small businesses unlock freedom, profitability, and sustainable growth. With 17 years of entrepreneur experience and a sharp command of marketing, finance, and leadership, Leslie has become a trusted guide for business owners ready to scale smart and live well. She's the author of First This, Then That, and a forthcoming Scaling Rich, a sought-after speaker on stages like NAWBO and WBE NCE, and a proud alumni of the Goldman Sachs 10K Small Business Program. Through her profitable growth incubator, business audits, and fractional CFO services, Leslie helps entrepreneurs break through financial ceilings and build businesses that truly support the life they want. Get ready for an inspiring conversation about reclaiming vision, driving profits, and thriving both in business and in life. Welcome, Leslie, to the Business Superfans Podcast. How are you, Leslie?
I'm doing phenomenal, Freddie. Thank you for having me.
We're excited to have you on the show and learn a little bit more about what Biz Rules does and how you help transform companies. So what's your backstory of how did Your Biz Rules came about?
Your Biz Rules is about, 11 years old right now. This is actually my second business. I had a prior business that sucked my soul dry 10 ways come Sunday. Went on a search to find out what I wanted to be when I grew up. If it wasn't be this business, what was it? And that led me into Your Biz Rules. Between the two businesses, I liken to say the first one was a bit of my prison. It was a self-made prison, but Your Biz Rules is my playground. So it's been a journey to get here. I've gone through a lot of different things in business and development as an entrepreneur. But I cannot imagine being anywhere else.
So what was it that was holding you back?
Although I designed a business doing all the things that I thought were the right things to do when other people were doing what you saw. And granted, that was 2007. So it's been a hot minute. The entrepreneurial landscape definitely changed and shifted. But what I didn't do in my first business is I didn't do the work of understanding what would make me happy the most, what my values were. I knew what I did as a person, but I didn't know how to translate that into a business that actually supported my lifestyle. So while we had our moments of extreme highs, extreme lows, and a high again, had a lot of success in there, at the end of it, I hated going to work on Mondays because I really didn't design a business that would give me what I wanted from it. I think that's normal in some ways because we see it happen so many times that I came into a business seeking freedom. I did not design a business to give me freedom. I treated freedom as a reward that happened someday when I had put in my dues, hustle and grind and reach that success. I didn't realize that I could have so much more of that from day one or day 10 or tomorrow. I really can change everything about my business tomorrow and get it into greater alignment. I didn't know that back then. I know that now. It took some hard lessons, but that's in essence, a lot of what we help do with our clients. The majority of our clients have been in business 3, 5, 10 years, and they're looking at a business. They're not sure how it got to where they're at. It doesn't really support them in the way that they want it to. And we have to bring things into alignment. I liken that to driving a Fiat down the road, taking it apart bit by bit and making sure it keeps going. That ultimately giving you a Tesla or an Audi or a Maserati. I don't know what it is you want, but it's doing that kind of live action renovation in a business while it's still operating. So you can still enjoy all the hard work you put into it, but get a whole lot more out of it.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. Because you think of some people that get started in business, they think, okay, wow, I'm a business owner. Well, you end up really having what I call a glorified job because you're basically doing everything and you're working in the business so much that you don't have any time to work on the business. And the same thing is you've got people that have been working corporate for years and then all of a sudden they retire from corporate and they says, I'm twiddling my thumbs. It's been about 6 months. I'm bored stiff. So I'm going to start a business. And they have no clue on how to start a business, how to run a business, because they've been in a corporate world. And they says, well, I worked there, so yeah. I should be able to do this. They're basically in for a rude awakening because, as you just said, it's not that easy. And you get caught up into the things that you think you should be doing versus the thing that you should be doing.
Yeah. We talk about a principle in our firm called Scaling Rich, and it's really about defining quality of your life that you live through your business. And you're correct. We are learned how to have a job. And our whole educational system is set up to learn how to have a job, how to be a job. Granted, innovation is starting to come to play, but with a long ago where you are and is out in real life. I always remember my favorite definition of a job in business is just overworked.
Yep.
Right? Because it's talking about all the things make a good work or a good worker, the technician, the job doesn't necessarily make a good business.
Correct.
And you do get detached. But I don't know what you've seen. I've seen this is that our value system, our self-value is so wrapped up in doing a good job that it's really hard to detach and understand that as an entrepreneur, it's not really your job to get it done. It's your job to ensure that it is done and done well. It doesn't mean you're done doing it. It just means it is reliable. That's part of your delivery, part of what you're building a reputation on and basing your pricing value on and all of these other things. I do think it's part of the journey we all have to go through. If you've never been in that business environment before, you just may not know.
You don't know what you don't know. I mean, and the reality is you're absolutely right on the money there because sometimes people get in their own way because nobody can do it as good as I can. So it's me that's got to go do it.
Yeah.
You know, I've learned something that 80% good by somebody else doing it is 100% good for me because I didn't have to do it. So I'll take 80% of the quality because it won't be noticed anyway. But then that freed me up 100% of the time to go do something else.
Yeah. And that's part of where I think as you mature as an entrepreneur, you start to really understand that in order to grow, you're going to have to let go. Something
you can't scale.
Exactly. And even in my business, it's something we talk about as a team. It's like, I'm getting too mired in X, which means I can't do Y, which means somebody is going to need to fill the shoes because I'm bottlenecking over here. And if I bottleneck the business, I stunt our growth. And my job is to promote the growth, to create ease, to build the team, to get us on the same page with the vision. But that takes a little bit. You've got to have a certain amount of trust. And I think you really alluded to that when you're talking about nobody can do it as good as me. You got to have a certain amount of trust, and you got to be willing to teach somebody to be as good as you.
Or like I said, close enough is fine because you're not doing it.
80%, it's good enough.
Especially as a business owner, focus on building the business and being the brand of the business. Then you can just spend that time to scale. At the same time, you're empowering other people and elevating them because you're putting belief into them and training them. All of a sudden, they realize they have this responsibility and need to step up their self-worth and whole attitude transform if you do it right. That's the key.
Yeah. Then I'm even thinking as you're sharing this, a lot of times business, I can't afford quality people. I can't pay them. I can't give them perks. Whatever the reason. And they're really not reasons, they're excuses. Talking about fear, because what we've seen is in our own business and the work we do with our clients to develop their teams, you actually can get some rock star people. You can get some grade A quality people if you're doing it the right way, right? If you're looking for a culture fit, if you're looking for skill fit, most people, 99% of the people out in the world just want to do a really good job and get a thank you at the end of the day. They want to feel appreciated. They want to be seen. And they want to know that they're going to have an impact. When you can create that kind of environment in a small business, it is amazing. We had one client that when we came in, just a lot of turnover, very frustrated. They were very frustrated with their hiring process. And we put a lot of things in place. Like you said, we were doing the right things. And the client was talking to me. She goes, "You will not believe this. I was having a bad day and somebody came in and they looked at me and they looked at what was on my desk and they went, I am taking this from you. I will do it and I will return to you. When do you want it back?" And walked out the door. Like, didn't even take a moment to let the owner fight with them about whether or not they should or could, but they were empowered and they were confident. They had been trained. So
you said a couple of things right there. One is empowered, confident, and what you've just described is what I call creating internal super fans. And that's where it really starts. You really want to create super fans of the team, because if the team loves the company they're at and appreciates the fact that they're being recognized, empowered, appreciated, and everything else, that whole energy, that whole mindset transforms that whole energy of the company. So now when you're talking to prospective customers, that energy comes across. I mean, we've all communicated with someone and that's flat. And you go, well, not sure about these people. You get that feeling. We can sense things. But then you call somebody and they're all bubbly and super excited. "Hey, good morning. Glad you called. How can we help?" You go, "Man, wow, what's going on here?" We're attracted to that.
It's infectious.
Yes. So now, you know, that transforms the team. And from the team, that goes on to prospective customers, which in turn become customers. It snowballs because the customers have a great onboarding experience. So they share it with everybody else. Your business can exponentially grow and you're not spending a ton of money doing it.
Yeah. And this is one of the points of momentum in a business that most people don't think of. Our terminologies talk about the upward spiral, because you can have momentum that spirals positively and you can have momentum that spirals negatively, right? Consciously thinking of that as a strategy for the longevity of your business that I think a lot of businesses don't realize that they have as a superpower. As you're describing it, I was thinking of, we went to two conferences last year. We did booths. I brought team members because A, we're an entirely virtual environment. So anytime we can get together is always a good thing. But B, so that they could see front lines. You know, some of my people are behind the scenes. Some of them are front of the house. But it was so awesome to see them confident enough to start a conversation with a complete stranger. Wonderful for me to take a step back and just watch, like just watch them in action and their energy and how they communicated. And it was a test to me. Did all the things we've invested in our team make sense? Are they internalizing it in such a way that they can put it back out there in the world? Your point, you're much more happy to get a place for some greet you with a smile than if you walk in and the person is always grumpy. These little details, man, and don't cost you a thing. They cost you a bit of time and tension, but comparatively, they cost you not.
Absolutely. One of my quotes in my book is, people crawl through broken glass for appreciation and recognition.
Yeah. True that. Very true.
I look at it as the little things are the big things. You recognize somebody on their birthday, you compliment somebody, or as we talked earlier, you empower somebody that you don't think is qualified for the job. But what you don't know is that person might be dying for an opportunity to show who they really are. It's just nobody ever given them the opportunity, open the door for them, says, oh, hey, let me see what you can do. I've seen that transform people where you say, man, they're never going to do this. And you give it to them anyway. And all of a sudden they surprise you and you go, man, they knocked it out of the ballpark. What happened to this person? You just empowered them and they've been dying for that opportunity.
Yeah. We're hiring for a few positions. And last week I was going through resume. I think I had 200 resumes to review. Important to me who we hire because we're still a small company, what would be considered a small tribe. Everybody knows each other. So those interpersonal relationships are key. That's why I look at the resumes, because I feel like I'm the guardian of that in the business. Going through them, you can tell people that are phoning it in. That's an easy no. But there's such a preponderance of people that are just looking for the opportunity for something better. And not everybody qualified, not everybody had transferable skills, because I can teach you, but I need to see some things. And on a sheet of paper, you're making some decisions. It was like, there's 100 people I wish I had a job for, just to give them the chance to step into their best version of themselves, because there are so many more people willing to put in the hard work, time on their own, to do the learning, to have a chance at something better. It gets back to our mission. We're here to help people be better at business. Anytime I see somebody that wants better, I'm like, how can I make that happen for you? If you feel good and whole, you pay it forward and do better in the world. And when we have more of that, we start to have a positive impact in the world. That impact and legacy is what we're truly after, at least in our business.
Yep. So that is a perfect segue into you sharing a story about how you helped transform one of your customers.
There's so many great stories to choose from. I think a lot of times a common place that will come into a business tends to be in the mid six figures, somebody that's had some success, maybe a small team, but the business owner is about to burn out. Going down in flames, a firefighter's not going to put you out. You feel burned out. And they're coming to us just to, because they got to find it better. They just haven't been able to. We had a professional services firm in about this area and just working really hard, not making the money that they wanted to make, but couldn't necessarily feel like they could afford the team that they wanted to hire. There's that rock and hard spot where you're like, I can't work any harder and I don't have the money to pay the people I want to get out of this role. And so you feel like pinned, not knowing what to do next. This is a case where one of the first things we do with our clients is a business audit. We go into a super deep dive into the nuts and bolts of the business, and we're looking for opportunity. We're looking for cash that maybe individually was like a penny, but when you add together, it's $100. Now, what if that was $100,000? Because sometimes we found that too, but it's so dispersed in different ways that it gets discounted. So we're looking for ways to activate the cash and to find the easiest path to get them to what they said they want. This is a case where we did that. What we found is that they had capacity. It's really interesting. Capacity as an issue, especially with teams, is oftentimes people can be busy, but they still have capacity. If you ask your team, can you do more? They're going to say, no, my plate is full. I'm busy. Busy isn't the same as productivity. And so we sometimes can see where people are investing their time. Going back to the beginning of this conversation, corporate mentality is to look busy. If you don't have something to work on, you're going to look busy. You're going to find something to use your time for. Sometimes when we have too much time, we allow our tasks to stretch. It's a profit drain. We call it time slippage, but it stretches to fill the available time. What we often see, even the teams that feel like they're really busy, only working at 60% capacity. Well, I don't need you at 100% because 100% is not sustainable. People get sick, go on vacation. But 80%, going back to our 80%, if you're at 60 and we can get you to 80%, just
huge
by
difference,
right? And suddenly we have the money. Suddenly we can invest in those key staff members. Suddenly we can invest in technology systems. And this is a client where we took her from about the mid six figures to 2 million in 9 months. Wow. She was ready. She did not feel that was possible. We argued, friendly argued, but she was like, that's not possible. And I was like, actually, I think it is. It's just that all the signals you could see said no, but what you didn't see is all the yeses. So do you want to play? Because even if we don't get there in the time frame, it's still going to be better than where you are today. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
What's important is to get buy-in from everybody on the team. Mm-hmm. That's where business owners sometimes fail. They say, I am going to grow the business. But nobody else knows that that's the vision. Yeah. Nobody else has any idea of what the mission or direction is. If you empower and share that information, you get everybody into the same rowboat. Think of a boat racing where people are rowing. They have to be in sync. But you get all those people into the same direction with the same vision. Everybody's going to level up a notch because they want to help that goal. And then you put a carrot up there. It says, okay, if we hit this number or this achievement, we're going to celebrate with everybody because you can't do it by yourself. You need the team.
Yeah, exactly. That reminds me, we had a client that we've been working with for a couple of years. One of the things we wanted to do was inject a revenue diversification, a new service offering. They were on board, but not on board, kind of a thing like, well, that sounds nice, but will it really do anything? And it was hilarious because at one point we're working on like, guys, it's taken us 6 months. When are we going to get this in the market? We had an opportunity where the owners went on vacation. We're like, let us meet with your team in the meantime. In the meantime, let us share this with your team. Let us talk to your team about this. So we did. We wound up talking to their appointment center, who was all on board. We're like, okay, how many do you think you can sell? She was like, let me answer some questions. I'm excited at this. We need this. And then Stephanie, she sold 20 of these packages in weeks. And she's, I didn't even think we'd sell three. That's why it took so long for us to get out there. Now I'm like, can you ask your team member what her goal is? She and her team member will go through and say, how many should I sell this week, this month? Go for 40. Mm-hmm. To your point, a lot of business owners don't know what that looks like. You could turn around and say, we're going to grow. Do you tell your team what you're going to do? And they're like, yes. I ask the team, do you understand what we're doing? They go, no.
Nope.
We definitely enjoy when we can involve the team and we can be the mouthpiece for a little bit so we can share and show what education looks like. This is what empowerment looks like and engagement. And then just watch. Because here's the funny thing happens when the owners do it from our perspective. The team either lights up or shuts down. Usually it's 99% of the team that lights up and one person shuts down.
There's always that one.
Right? But it's either that one, like we'll work with resistance. We understand that. But generally, too much resistance means it's not a good fit.
Right.
And we find the quiet business killer because it's out of alignment with where the business is heading and the owners and a multitude of things, right? But there's just so much power in treating your team like adults.
it goes further than that, too, Leslie, is the fact that they may have ideas that you had no inclination of whatsoever, but they're busy looking and doing and working. And they go, this is a pain in the butt. If we could do this particular way or that way, this would save me so much time. And a lot of times owners will go, I'm not interested in your idea. This is how we've done it. This is how we're doing it. You've just disempowered that person. So you just killed their energy. And the reality is you just missed out on probably something that could have completely transformed your business, or at least that section of the business, into a much more profitable center. And I share that because I was working with a particular company not too long ago. And there was a person having some challenges because they got chastised publicly by the management team. So their self-esteem was pretty much crushed. They virtually quit. And when they came up to me to tell me that they quit, I talked them out of it and just said, you're going to report to me and I'll deal with the blocking back and I'll keep you protected. They also had some depression challenges. I'll just say it out there. Okay.
Yes.
And what I did is I empowered this person. I gave them more responsibilities. So they didn't have time to get all worked out and everything else because I empowered them. I believed in them. And that person came up with ideas to improve this department. And they contributed to growing that department in a year's time by about 125%. So it was doing about $100,000 for that department. It ended up for that year, $225,000. They grew by $125,000 in revenue because they got empowered.
Yeah.
They believed in them and got out of their way.
Yeah. Well, I do think that the people of the business, your team, part of that equation, we consider the strategic partners, your vendors, your client, and your team all to be the people of the business. We want this winning environment because your job as an entrepreneur is not to do all the work. It's to ensure that the work gets done, which means you've got to get out of the.
Yeah, you got to empower people. You got to create super fans. And what you mentioned is what I call total experience, which is encompassing all stakeholders into the equation because they're all involved. If you recognize a supplier, for example, and you take care of that supplier, and you're in a bind, and then someone else is also requesting stuff at the same time, who are they going to consider to take care of? They're going to take care of the person that takes care of them, that appreciates them and everything else. So the math is real simple. Doing it is actually really simple. You just got to do it.
You have to have the intention, and it can't be a chore. If you view it as a chore, then it's going to be the last thing you want to do. But if you see the power, like what you and I are discussing so much of today, then it's a no-brainer. It's just like, it's what you do, because at the end of the day, it's what works and works well and works in all situations. Even if you have a bad day, you're given a little grace to have a bad day because you've given other people grace to have a bad day. I believe that too many people underutilize their suppliers and vendor. Instead of saying, we're paying for product, how are we not using the to its full advantage? We pay for the system, but how could we get more value from this system? It's that constant conversation, knowing that we don't know it all. So me, great. I make sure we're using this 110%. We're utilizing everything to this capability. Tell me how we can be a resource into my business. I think for a lot of people, they care enough to answer that question. And
sure,
they're going to feel good about the impact in New York.
Yep, absolutely spot on. So, Leslie, what would be a good tip for our listeners that are business owners that they can look at themselves and take a time out and that they could do to assess where they're at?
In terms of their team or their business as a whole?
Let's go with in terms of their team, because no team, no business.
And pretty much. I'll say when it comes to the team, would you be willing to have your team do a 360 review of you? It's being vulnerable, right? But if you are absolutely terrified of what they might say, might be an indicator that you need to take a look at some things, right? Straight up, might be an indicator. If your general feeling is that people try to take advantage of you, you might need to take a look at things because it is going to stall and impact your business in ways you don't even understand. You're spinning your wheels, you're wasting money and time. It doesn't have to be that way. So on the opposite side of awareness, write that perfect team, what that would look like and feel like, what would happen at the beginning of your day. If you're in office and in real life with people, what would happen the moment you walk through the door? How would the day go? How would your interactions go with your team? I think to our point is people don't put enough intention around what they're trying to create. And so we do have to do some visioning around what it is that we ultimately want. I will let you know, here we are in 2025. I have had a team that went wrong. It's the only way that I can sit here and tell you how I want to go right. Because I've done the wrong thing where my team got together on Friday night and complained about me over drinks. I never want that to happen again. I never want to be the reason that people complain about business. They may not be happy with me all the time, but That's a culture issue, right? They didn't feel they could share and that we really care of them as a team. If I hadn't gone through that experience, wouldn't be able to say, this is what I want. I want a team that works collaboratively. I know that we handle situations the day that they happen, not a year later and let things fester. I know these are the aspects of my team because I sat down and really thought about them, or I admired it in somebody else's team. So I think you need to do that evaluation regularly and think about the vision of the team and what we can always be improving and doing better, and how you as the owner can grow as a leader and as a manager.
Absolutely spot on. When we've worked in corporate America, we've all gone out and had a beverage or two. And definitely the conversation was not uplifting. It was everybody venting about things they didn't like, things that should be better and everything else, but nobody would ever listen to it. So you're absolutely right on the money, because that's negative energy. Even though they're at the bar having that conversation, it's still Monday when they come back into the office. That mindset is still there, and it's probably worse. It was a collaborative discussion going this way versus this way. And so you come into Monday and you're still thinking of all the stuff that was talked about on Friday night that everybody vented. You're going completely this way in the business culture.
Yeah, it's insidious. It's a form of cancer. This can have a cancer. It is cancer. It is that deadly. I've lived through it. You don't want to be there at all. And it's so easy not to be there. It just takes learning and some guides along the way that help you tweak and manage and learn how to be better. But every time your business grows, you're going to be forced to grow as well.
Yeah, and you got to have some thick skin, because you have to take some negative statements about yourself as a leader, and you got to be open to that criticism, and you cannot chastise for that criticism. You've got to encourage it so that you can become a better leader.
Because we are human and we do feel things, even as the owner. My team have ways of discussing things. We have frameworks that we've taught each other and use. One of the things I always say is I do react emotionally. I know that about myself. So if I ask for a day or two of space so that I can process and come back to you, that's all I'm asking for. Like, I want to address it, but sometimes I need time to process, because what I heard, I got an emotional charge from, right? Sure. I'm more committed to resolving the issue, but I need a couple of days to process through it. Generally, I can come back to it and say, I see where this happened. I see what I did to contribute. Please know that this was my intention. This is what I'm going to work on, and vice versa. If it's the reverse, I don't expect a response right then and there. And if it's a case, we're just not going to let things lie. So we're going to address it. We'll talk about it in the moment. And when you talk about it in the moment, it's this big versus, you know, organized one. If we need space to process, we take the space to process, but we're coming back and we're going to resolve it. When we do resolve, I think this is the other key. Leave it in the past. Don't drag it with you.
Yeah, it's over. It's done. The door's closed. Exactly. Drop that suitcase and go forward. So absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Think. So why don't you list off all the services that Your Biz Rules offers to our listeners?
Sure. What we do is help create more predictable profits in a business so you can grow and scale it without burnout. We like to say we're your fractional C-suite. We have a lot of subject matter experts. We do fractional CFO work, strategic planning, business advising and management. We have a deep skills, operations, systems, technology, and we built the team by bringing in our subject matter experts, phenomenal at what they do. So we can answer issues that our clients have in the business and get them growing to where they want to go.
Excellent. So as we wrap up here, Leslie, how can people find you?
Sure. So we have a special page just for your audience. It's going to be at Your Biz Rules, BSFP. So B is in boy, S is in super, F is in fans, and P for podcasts. If you go there, you're going to see a couple of things. One is we have some great books that Scaling Rich, which we'll be releasing in 2025, some book guides, ways to access. And then if you want to talk to us about how we can help in your business, there is the ability to do that as well.
Great. We'll make sure that we have that in the show notes so that our audience can find it. That's a great gift that you're putting out there. and I'm sure our listeners will appreciate it. It's been a great conversation, Leslie, and we look forward to having you on the show down the road.
Thanks so much, Freddie, for having me here. It was great.
Hey, superfan, superstar, Freddie D here. Before we wrap, here's your 3A playbook power move to attract ideal clients, turn them into advocates, and accelerate your business success. So here's a top insight from today's episode. If your business can't thrive without you, you don't own a business. You own a burnout machine. So here's the business growth action step. Choose one task you're still clinging to and delegate it fully this week. Freeing your time is the first step to scaling smart and living well. If today's conversation sparked an idea for you, or you know of a fellow business leader who could benefit, share it with them. Support the show with the donation and grab the full breakdown in the show notes. Let's accelerate together and start creating business superfans who champion your brand.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. If you found today's conversation valuable, don't forget to hit that subscribe button, leave us a review, and share this episode with someone who could use these powerful insights to level up their business. Remember, creating business superfans isn't just about your customers. It's about fostering genuine, impactful connections across your entire business ecosystem. When you invest in those relationships, success doesn't just happen, it accelerates. Until next time, I'm your host, Freddie D. Let's keep building superfans, creating unstoppable momentum, and driving your business toward extraordinary success. See you in the next episode.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. The path to success relies on taking action. So go over to businesssuperfans.com and get your hands on the book if you haven't already. Join the accelerator community and take that first step in generating a team of passionate supporters for your business. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.